Okay, Mr. Garrow, could you please state your name and your ADC number for me for the record, please? Okay, Mr. Garrow, could you please state your name and your ADC number for me for the record, please?
My full name is Dominic Guerrero. My ADC number is 280225.
Okay, Mr. Garrow, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, sir. Let me introduce you to the board members that are going to be conducting your hearing today. To my far right, sir, and it'd be to your left, is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Next to her is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle right here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson, and I will be acting as your panel chair today. Also with us, sir, representing the Department of Corrections, as well as the parole office, is Mr. Osborne. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you signed and received a notification form advising you of the board's hearing today, sir. Do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, I do.
Okay, sir, on that form, you were also notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney to speak on your behalf at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney, sir, or are you representing yourself today?
I'm going to be representing myself.
Okay. So at this time, I'd like to swear you in. You do have one supporter here, and I'm going to swear all three. Are you going to be speaking, Ms. Lucero?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to swear all three of you in at this time, okay? So do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Lucero? Mr. Guerrero?
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay. Ms. Lucero?
Yes.
Mr. Osborne?
I do, sir.
Okay. Sir, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In the first phase, we'll determine whether the terms and conditions of your supervision should be have been violated. In the second phase, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have 7 allegations listed on your warrant, sir. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read those allegations to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false, okay? Do you understand what I'm requesting, sir?
Yes, I understand.
Okay, so the first allegation on your warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on September 7th, 2017, per the task GCMS lab report dated September 15th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay, sir. Your next allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on August 30th, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 4th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
It's true.
Okay, so your next allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a U.S. specimen for drug testing on August 31st, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 4th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
All right, sir. Your next allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a U.S. specimen for drug testing on September 22nd, 2017, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated October 4th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay. Sir, the next allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 7, as demonstrated by your use of marijuana, THC, on or about September 7th, 2017, per the task lab report dated September 15th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay. So your next allegation states you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 12A, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to enter MRC located at 24601 North 29th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about September 30th, 2017, as directed on September 29th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
That is true.
Okay. And sir, your last allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 2, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report to the Mesa Regional Parole Office located at 460 North Mesa Drive, number 211, Mesa, Arizona, on October 3rd, 2017, as written directed on October 2nd, 2017, Defender is actually avoiding supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
That's true.
Okay. Thank you, sir. So based on the admission of Mr. Guerrero, I move to find that he was delinquent as he did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapses about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, sir, we will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out with first getting some information from the parole officer, Mr. Osborne. Then we're going to come back to you, Mr. Guerrero, and get any information that you would like to present to the board. And then we're also going to have that you have one supporter here, Leah Lucero, and then we'll hear from her. Mr. Osborne.
All right, sir.
Yes, sir. Mr. Guerrero was released from DOC custody on May 30th of 2017. He was arrested on October 11th of 2017 by the Chandler Police Department on the Condom Work Status and was returned back to our custody that same day, 8 of town days, with a community supervision end date of February 6th of 2018. Current conviction, 2013 armed robbery, 5 years. 2013 armed robbery, 5 years. And 2013 armed robbery, 5 years. He has one term with DOC, has a CUIR score of 4.4, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is STG NDA information noted out of AIM that he's suspected under the Dupavia project. He has a moderate disciplinary history with drugs and violence noted. Other arrests, 2006, assault with deadly weapon, AZ juvenile probation. 2008, marijuana violation, AZ juvenile probation. 2008, threat and intimidate, AZ juvenile probation. And 2011, possession of sales of marijuana, AZ guilty under sanction. And he has a community risk score of G4, B5.
Okay, Mr. Guerrero, I'm going to go over some information with you then. I'm going to see, get some information and comments from you, okay?
All right.
Okay, so it looks like that when you were released, you were approved to reside at 300 East Commonwealth, number 100, Chandler, with your mother, Monica Guerrero. You didn't have any other address that you were approved for by this parole officer. Were you still staying at your mom's residence, sir, or what happened?
Yeah, I was staying with her, but I was back and forth between her apartment and my woman's apartment.
Okay. And so, sir, I see that it says that I'm looking at your work. You were working for ARC Air Conditioning on Dobson and Southern for a while, and then you moved from there to Sierra Stucco in Gilbert. Is that right?
That's correct. And I also worked another job at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Okay, so were you working at the time that you were arrested?
For a while, when I first got out, for a while I was doing really great. I was working for Sierra Stucco's, and then I was working for Buffalo Wild Wings as well. I was working two jobs, and then I stopped working at Buffalo Wild Wings. I got a car accident, and from there everything just started going downhill. My addiction got a hold of me, and that's basically my main problem and the main reason why I'm back is my addiction.
Okay.
I mean, you see all the allegations I had were for failure to UAA, failure to produce, dirty for methamphetamine. That's the main problem I have is my addiction. And my parole officer, Michelle, she knows well, like, I've always been honest with her. I've kept it honest with her. I asked for help. She put me into the MRC program for the weekend. I was supposed to go back for 30 to 90 days, but due to my drug addiction, I didn't go back, and not for that only reason. I wanted to be out for the holidays with my son and my mother and my woman, but, you know, things didn't work out that way, and, you know, I'm just taking this as a blessing, you know, that I actually got to come clean up and analyze everything and analyze where I went wrong, the things I did wrong, and I now know who I gotta avoid and what to avoid to not go back into that lifestyle.
So it did look like you started out doing well and working, and you just started out, but you were doing cocaine? Were you doing, what else, what other drugs were you doing?
It started off with cocaine, but then I started smoking marijuana, and I started doing meth.
So if I'm looking at this, are you about what, 24 years old?
Correct.
And this is your first time being incarcerated in prison?
Correct.
So why didn't you complete the program? So you said you have an addiction problem. Why didn't you complete the program?
I wasn't thinking right at the time, you know, like I was on meth really bad. I was doing it. I was using daily. And my mom just wasn't right. I was going to that program. I was about to go there. My mom come to take me. And at the last minute, I didn't go. I made a mistake. I made an honest mistake. And I admit to it, my addiction. I admit to it, my addiction is the main problem I have. And I do need help with it.
Well, sir, you can't get help if you don't enroll yourself in the program and participate.
I understand that, sir.
So it appears your PO was trying to work with you, and you just decided, as you say, just to kind of go on your own. Tell me a little bit, Mr. Girl, how did you relapse? What caused you to relapse, sir?
Just surrounding myself with the wrong environment, the wrong people, hanging around my old crowd.
So
that's basically what it is, just who I surrounded myself with, going and hanging out with my old friends that I don't even consider friends anymore. Because at the end of the day, they're not here for me. It's just my family and my woman that the only ones that have been here for me since I came back. And they always been there for me, trying to help me out and talk me into it. But like I said, I was just too much on drugs that it didn't really click to my mind to understand them or feel what they're going through. And I didn't realize it until I was back. But like I said, now I do understand and I analyzed everything. I took my time to analyze everything from where I went wrong, where it all started. And like I said, the main thing is my addiction and the people I surround myself with. And like I said, now I know what to avoid and what to stay away from.
So I have a little bit of concern, Mr. Girl, because you were in prison for armed robbery. Why did you do the armed robbery? Was that for drugs or what?
Due to my addiction, sir. All my history has to do with my addiction. Honest mistakes I made, it all has to do with my addiction.
I understand you saying that and hearing you saying that, it all has to do with your addiction, being addicted to drugs. But what I'm not understanding, so I'm not hearing anything that really says that you really want to get involved in a program and do something, because they can make arrangements for you to go to programs, but if you don't put the effort into it.
I do want help, sir. I do want help, and I'm willing to change. I'm ready to change. I just need that help, and I need that step to be enrolled into a program and to actually be there, you know, because I did go to the MRC program for the weekend. I talked to other people that are there for the 30-day program, the 90-day program, and it sounded really good, and it's something I was looking into, but like I said, just at the last minute, I didn't go. I made an honest mistake, and if I'm given the opportunity to do that again, I will take advantage of it, and I will complete the program successfully, because I don't want to continue living that lifestyle of addiction, because as you can see, as I can see, it's not getting me nowhere, but back in prison and just back to the lifestyle that I shouldn't be involved in. You know, I got a beautiful little son. I got a great mom. I got a great support team on my side. Like, my woman, she's there for me, you know, and I really do appreciate that, but I do need help, and I want the help, and I'm willing to take that extra step to do what I need to do to change and to get rid of that addiction.
Okay, Mr. Durant, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions, sir. Mr. Quinones.
Yes, just a quick one, Mr. Johnson. I'll keep it short. Mr. Guerrero?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Just a quick question. I'm not trying to embarrass you with, like, too deep or interpersonal questions. I'm not a counselor, but have you been struggling with, like, depression or anxiety in your past as part of this?
I do. I take medication for it.
The reason why I ask that is because I can't help but notice the pattern when we listen to a lot of cases that when people are struggling and they get into stimulants like cocaine or methamphetamine, there might be something else going on underneath. So I'm only bringing it up for this reason, and that is, if you're serious about this, please explore, like, the big issue Because you don't want to find yourself in this position again. You sound like you're committing yourself to cleaning up, and you're obviously a hard worker. I find that really meaningful. I agree with my colleague. I think what he's probably looking for is some commitment, and that's what I'm certainly what I'm looking for. But thank you for being honest. Thank you, sir.
Does Boyd have any additional questions?
Just go
ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Guerrero, what were you doing the day that you were picked up by Chandler Police Department?
I was just hanging out at my girlfriend's house using meth.
Oh, okay.
That's about it. That's all I was really doing. She would go to work, and I would stay back, and I would get high. I would use.
Okay. So who called the police?
I'm not sure. I went there before an incident where her mother had called them. They thought we were having domestics, but it wasn't even really nothing like that, so they showed up, and that's how they knew where I was at. I'm not sure who called the police. I'm not sure if anybody called the police, but I know I was on the run, and I'm pretty sure they were going to look for me, but they could arrest me for my warrant.
Okay.
I'm not really totally 100% sure, but that's my guess.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Guerrero. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
So how are you supporting your habit, Mr. Guerrero?
How will I support my habit?
Yes, sir.
Friends, my so-called friends, they would always come and say they would look out for me. They would come and hand me meth for I to use, and they would come and get high with me, and they'll take off.
All right, so we're going to hear from your support of Ms. Lucero at this time, sir. Ms. Lucero, if you would come up to the mic and just state your name and go ahead and present any information that you'd like to present to the board at this time.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I want to start off by saying when we were living in that old apartment, when everything happened, I decided, to move from there in order for when he gets out, he's not around those people anymore, and he could have, a new home, something good to be around. Me and his mom have actually talked about enrolling him in the rehab facility for when he does get out. I also spoke to my father, he has a job that would be lined up for him. I just want to let you guys know that when he is to get out, we're, going to do our best to help him, stay on the right path. So
what would you do to help him? Because he says he was doing drugs when he was staying with you. You'd go to work and he...
Yeah, honestly, I didn't really know of it. He was doing it while I was at work. I used to work graveyard, so I would come home, go to sleep, and he would do his thing. When I first met him, he was working. He had his car. He was doing really well. Like he said, everything just went downhill. That's when I started kind of to realize what was going on. But now I'm doing my best to, myself get away from all that. I wasn't involved in meeting him that, and I don't want him to either. So I'm trying to, provide a good home for us for when he does get out.
Does the board have any questions for Mr. Sell? Okay, thank you.
I love you.
Hello, too.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Guerrero, the board's going to go into discussion. So prior to going into discussion, we want to give you the opportunity, sir, to see if there's anything else you'd like to tell the board that you haven't already told us. And please try not to repeat yourself, sir.
First and foremost, I would like to appreciate and apologize to my mom, to my son, to my woman, for disappointing them, for letting them down, for doing the things that I said I would never do again. I'm sorry for being a waste of you guys' time and for being here and being a waste of space in here. I would appreciate you guys to take into consideration to give me a second chance. Either way it goes, I'm going to take it as a man and deal with my consequences, but I would really appreciate it for a second chance and you guys will not regret it. I know what I gotta do. I know what I gotta avoid. I have a good head on my shoulders. I'm sober, and I'm ready to make this next step in my life and change and to get my addiction in the past. That's all I gotta say. I appreciate you guys for your time and effort, and thank you guys.
Okay, so that's one other question for you. That's a concern. So when your fiance went to work, who was watching your child?
Who was watching my child?
Uh huh.
My child is actually is with his mother. When my baby's mother, we were together before I got incarcerated.
Okay.
So he's under her custody, but I would get him here and there every other weekend, or my mom would get him, and we'll spend time together, we'll go out.
Okay,
so that's how that basically relationship works between me and my son.
Okay, so you don't have kids with Miss Lucero?
We are expecting one.
Okay. All right. So, because I got kind of a concern whether, you know, you're doing drugs while you're watching your child.
No, I would never do that. That's one thing I wouldn't do when I have my son. I would spend all my time, and I'll give all my time to him.
Okay, so it's, Mr. Gerald, the board's going to go into discussion, as I was telling you. A lot of boards in discussion, sir. I am going to ask you to stay on the phone, however, to remain silent. The board will make a decision whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, sir. The board is now going to go into discussion, and I will get back to you when we make a decision. But you'll be able to hear a discussion that the board is having, okay?
Okay. Right. Thank you.
So, this is Mr. Lucero's first time being incarcerated, although it's not his first time having to come in contact with law enforcement. He has, as a juvenile, had contact with law enforcement. He is a young man. He's 24 years old. He did get out, and he was doing well, and he did get out. He worked two jobs. He had a car, and just relapsed back, got back with his old friends, and got back into doing drugs, and took a spiral very quickly downhill. He was an absconder for, I believe it was 8 days, that he actually did abscond before he had contact with law enforcement, but it wasn't real clear on how he actually came in contact or what caused the police to be at the residence right now. I am right in the middle of, because he's a young man and because he did at one point did a good job, he does have support here from his fiance, Ms. Lucero. He says that his mom's been very supportive of him, but he needs to definitely get into some type of program to help him with his drug rehab, but he just has not taken advantage of the opportunity to get into a program, but I'm just kind of indecisive on this one right now because I just have not heard real clear that he knows he needs to get into a program, but I'm just not hearing real clear that there's that commitment that he's going to do something that if he's released to get into a program, just not there. However, I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues on this one here. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Johnson, thank you. And just because of the timing of things, he's really only got, by the time he would get, say, get released to supervision, if he was placed at MRC, there's not even time to complete the 90-day program. There would be enough time to complete the 30-day program. But I'm thinking he probably needs the 90-day, given, I mean, he himself admits that his whole past, all his criminal involvement has been around drugs. So, I mean, he'd really only have about 6 weeks by the time he gets processed and out and placed and all that. And that's if the parole officer determines that's where, because that's not even in our discretion.
Right.
So, yeah, I struggle as well. I do appreciate he's got a good solid support system with Ms. Lucero and his mother. She even said she's willing to move to a different apartment so they're away from the other friends. And he is a very hard worker, it sounds like. It's a tough one, yeah.
Mr. Quinones.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's true. This one is a bit more challenging because of the, I feel like kind of both of what you're saying, it's a very narrow amount of time to work with.
Yeah.
And so I don't want the message to be discouragement on the journey that this young man's on, but it's not a lot of time to work with in terms of what we can recommend. Recommend, by the way, because as my colleague said, we don't have control over the placement.
Sir, we're in the...
I'll get back to you.
But you know, sir, I come out of discussion, get to take the opportunity to hear what you have to say. Go ahead.
No, I understand what you were saying, that you weren't sure if I was too committed. I really am committed to changing my life and to curing this disease that I do got, which is my addiction. Whether or not the 30 to 90 day program is not enough for me, Like I said, I know what I gotta do as a man. If you guys give me the chance, you got my word. It's right here on video, it's recorded, you got my word. No, I'll get out. Like my woman said, she already talked to her father, he got the job lined up for me. That's not hard. Like I said, I know who I gotta avoid and stay away from, but no, I would just appreciate you guys if you guys could have some leniency on me. You know, I know I really don't got too much room to talk from where I'm at, but this place in here is not really a good place to put somebody that really wants to change, because all I'm surrounded by every day is people that talk nonsense, people that don't want to change their lives, people that commit their lives to this prison lifestyle. I don't want nothing to do with this prison lifestyle. It's not for me. I don't want to be here. I'm good on all this. I want to change, and I'm committed to changing, and I know what I got to do, sir. But that's all I got to say for now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to ask you to remain silent, Mr. Guerrero, while we go back into this. Did you have something?
Yes. I just want to follow by saying that, not just based on what he was saying right now, but I think I'm going to kind of back up and look at the totality, and that is, once again, I think it creates discomfort because the reason why he was there in the first place was an armed robbery. It sounds like that he was feeding his drug habit. But then there's the business of what he did when he's on the outside. It does seem that the 100% of what we're talking about here, and God willing he wasn't involved in other crimes, was about continuing a struggle with drug addiction. And I certainly would be open to 30 days of treatment versus not 30 days of treatment, but that's where I'm at. If it had a longer history, I might see it differently.
Okay, the board's going to go back. We're back into discussing now. Mr. Guerrero, I'm going to ask you to remain silent while the board's in discussion still, sir. It may sound as though we're talking to you, but we're only talking amongst ourselves to make a decision. I think that because this is Mr. Guerrero's first time, he's 24 years old. He has an opportunity to do something with his life and just bring it out. He does have some support from his girlfriend. His mom, he says, has been supportive. He was actually staying with his mom, although I would hope that the girlfriend, Ms. Lucero, is watching more closely as to what he was doing. She was unaware that he was doing drugs. And he says that he was doing it. She works the midnight shift, and he was doing the drugs while she was at work. She did state that he does have a job with her father when he gets out, if that's what he wants to do. I'm reluctant, but willing to give him a chance to get out and maybe participate in some program where at least he would be getting drug tested while he's out. And if he's getting drug tested, maybe that'll help prevent him from farther doing drugs at the time. But he truly has to make the decision that he really wants to make that turn. He has to make that turn in order to correct his life. He says he has a son that he want to do it for his son. He want to do it for his mother. He want to do it for his fiance. That he has that opportunity to be able to do that. Because he did work, and he worked two jobs, because he did buy a car, he's certainly capable of turning his life around. So I'm willing to give him a second opportunity to try to get his life right with some special conditions. amended conditions when he gets out there, and I will tell you some of those amended conditions that I would be looking at would be that his placement will be at the parole officer's discretion, that he has to successfully complete some type of substance abuse, but I'd like to also see him could complete some mental health treatment, because if there's some depression that's going along with it, he must enter in successfully complete treatment programs that offer a substance abuse, mental health treatment, and cognitive-based intervention. That his treatment programs would be at the, I'll just mark that the treatment programs would be at the parole officer's discretion. And that participate in mental health treatment plan and take medication, as he's already said, he's on prescribed medication. And then the PO to start his revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, or unsuitable for testing UA. And that would you know, I would very strongly oppose that he misses a UA or has a diluted or
yeah.
not
it's
a positive,
gotta be straight.
That immediately his situation be revoked and the process be started at that time. So my motion will be to continue Mr. Guerrero on community supervision with amended conditions. The amended conditions would be his placement would be at the parole officer's discretion. Recommend placement and successful completion of a program that offers substance abuse and mental health treatment. That his treatment program will be at the parole officer's discretion. Participate in a mental health treatment plan and take his medications out of his prescribed medication, which he says he's already doing. PO to start revocation process upon first positive, diluted, missed, or unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. But I'm also going to add a little extra word in there. I'm going to say it. Process immediately. Upon the first positive, diluted, or missed UA, and that's going to be my motion at this time.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Okay, Mr. Guerrero, you had the opportunity to listen to the board's discussion, sir. The board has voted to reinstate you or continue on your community supervision, sir, with some of the same conditions along with some amended conditions. Those amended conditions is that your preferred release would be at your placement, would be at your parole officer's discretion, which means that wherever the parole officer sends you, that's where you have to go. It may not be at your mother's house, it may be to a program. Do you understand that?
That's understandable.
Okay,
so,
and that we are recommending placement and successful completion of a program that offers substance abuse treatment as well as mental health treatment. They'll kind of work with your anxiety. You are on medication now and continue doing that. You must successfully complete a treatment program at your parole officer's discretion. Participate in mental health treatment plan and take medication as prescribed. And so I put a little something extra in it. PO to start revocation process immediately upon first positive, diluted, missed, unsuitable for testing, or unexcused UA. Do you understand that, sir?
I understand that, sir.
Okay, are you able to live with those conditions?
I'm able to live with them all the way.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Okay, sir, that is going to conclude your hearing. At this time, I do want to thank you, Mr. Guerrero, for participating in your hearing. Mr. Lucero, I do want to thank you for taking the opportunity and time to come down here and speak before this board. That's going to conclude the hearing at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have about 7 to 10 working.